Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, good evening, and welcome once again to Madame Perry Salon. If you're listening live, we're starting a little later tonight, and that's because I had a great show planned for last night, and somehow my mind just skipped a groove on it. Nothing I've ever done before, but I'm going to blame it on the amazing amount of glue that I've been huffing in the last week and a half or 2 weeks, while getting costume ready for Wild Wild West Con this weekend in Tucson, Arizona. I know you've heard me talk about it, and if you follow my social media, you know I've posted about it. But I'm so excited, so I missed that. But my guest graciously agreed to come back tonight. But if we could start an hour later, and I think I like this time a lot. Maybe I should just stick with this. Anyway, but he's not here yet. I think he's probably working on some magnificent machine or costume or robot or weapon or having pictures made. And you know I'm talking about steampunk author and creator Thomas Williford. So super psyched this show. And you know what? He's not here yet. But let me go ahead, too, and tell you about some other things. You know, Daisy Bella has been sponsoring this last month. They create fun-spirited fashion that inspires confidence in women of all shapes and sizes with positive, uplifting messages and images. So when you purchase a T-shirt or bracelet from Daisy Bella, they pay it forward, making donations to the DB Women in Need program, an initiative that supports charities that give women and children the ability to rebuild their lives. And if you go to the website, Daisy, D-A-I-S-Y, hyphen, Bella, B-E-L-L-A.com, then they will give to you a 20% discount if you put in this code, thank you, just simple T-H-A-N-K-Y-O-U, thank you, and then the numbers 2 and 0, and they will happily give that to you. Now, since my guest isn't here yet, and I'm all in a steampunk state of mind, I think I'm going to play something by, let's see, I usually play a few steampunk things lined up here, but I think I'm going to go with, do I have any Valentine Wolf still here? Maybe not. I don't know what happened there, but I do have and a lot of people have asked me for this, is I do have Moses Moe. He was our guest, Moses Moe, guitar player, songwriter for Mother's Finest, and he's got a group out, too, on tour called Moses Moe and the Real Cool Band, and he gave me a couple of songs that I could play right here. So this is Love Ain't Going Nowhere by Moses Moe and the Real Cool Band.
Time, 'cause love ain't going nowhere. songs that describe what love is, but it still falls short of defining its substance. Words fail to serve, but complex subjects. Sorry if you expect this verse to compress some depth. My personal perspective is love is the concept. Every person views subjectively with relative context. Love and lust are so often confused. This is what I want from me and what I want from you. I love you, baby, believe it. Say it enough to each other, then maybe we'll meet it. There's a great secret to making relationships work. They only take one word. Determine if that person's even worth all that effort. The 7 billion others on a possibly better. So did you bother to search? What's more probable, the universe brought you together, or you just set off intolerable?
Real slow, so I can feel the heat.
I still believe you and me were always meant to be. I'll give you anything you ask, you fulfill my needs.
It's your time, cause love ain't going nowhere.
Won't share, no fear, we're both here. And I know tears of love so pure won't disappear.
Oh, yeah, love ain't going nowhere. Not at all. Not the way Moses Moe and the Real Cool Band play it. You know what I found out? I also had Frenchie and the Punk, Scott Helen's Frenchie and the Punk. Everybody in steampunk knows them. If not, you haven't been showing up. This is called Never End, the Rocket Century.
Thank you. j'aimerais d'aller voir la grande cité, boire un petit café, regarder les gens passer. Ça aurait été vraiment chouette. Ah, je suis vraiment bête, hein. Mon voyage est au pays.
My lovelies, from Frenchie and the Punk. I figure, why have just one Frenchie and the Punk song? You know, when you can have two, that's the way to go. That's the steam-powered way to go. And they deliver. I love them so much. Now, let's see. I'm running down Thomas Williford, and he's so busy. And I think he had to go to the airport, and he's back. And I'm looking out the studio window. He could be here any minute. So why don't I play Pop Lock Holmes, Pound of the Baskervilles?
Was a Friday night, and one like no other, with lightning strikes and thunder. What a sound to feed the drowned of the pounding, and no doubt we found out just what made the sound. See, a hound pounding out made sounds that drowned every ounce of the thunderous sounds from the clouds. A pound so deep, our insides were shaken and taken aback when the beast kept breaking. Three beastly heads all barking back, their rumbling bass made the walls crack. Bricks tumbled down, and there was a castle surrounding the beast. And down in the rafters, out of the timbers came pounds and shivers. Our spines of your face still clutching their mothers. The base welled up, the walls came down, the beast got up, and hell went down. We grappled on top of the toppled remains of the castle that tumbled under the strain. The sound that he made shook me right to my kidney. I thought I was lost when it suddenly hit me. Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the seams into place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC's in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. With music for the steampunks.
Now that hound took a pounding, astoundedly, gave back a pounding, confounding me. I dodged, I weaved, I skimmed, I skirmed, but the beast had a head whenever I turned. I couldn't get free, I couldn't get out. I turned to watch on, go on, get out. I'll keep on busy while you get away. The music lived on, my beats must play. So we clashed, we collided, igniting the spark. The bass, the beast, the beat, the art. This wasn't a beast, but the bass that was beating. You can't beat the bass, or the bass that the bass brings. So I stood tall, and I let the beast eat me. The bass started beating. The second that he bit me, you can't kill the pop lock. I'm like Obi-Wan, so let the bass drop and pop lock.
Pop, lock, and drop that bass. Run the seams into place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. Music for the steampunks. Lock and drop that bass. Run DMC's in the place. Pop, drop, and lock it up. With music for the steampunks.
Crazy about Pop Lock Holmes. I wish I had more of his music to play. Pound of the Baskervilles. That's such a great song. Everything he does is fun. Now, let's see. I know I just passed some Valentine Wolf. I saw them live recently. They were in Atlanta. And they were doing some music from their new CD, which is music based on poems of, well, you know, I'm not going to say Emily Dickinson. Okay, Emily Dickinson. And they're magnificent. They really are. So you should check that out. Go see. And if you ever get a chance to see Valentine Wolf live, it's a very different experience. They're always good. It's good to hear them play. And it's good to play their records on here, which they very kindly let me do a lot. But if you get the chance to hear them live, that's what you should do. Now, Kelly Dwyer, she's a little bit of everything. And this is a song of hers called, oh, wait, I think someone's coming in the door. So we're going to have to wait on Kelly Dwyer. And it's the man that you all know and love, the man in whom you are in awe, the soul-crushing, brute-force robot-building, the luscious leather corset-making, Thomas Williford.
Oh, God, I got to hire you to be my my you know, PR person, because I'm sitting here in my pajamas at the moment, you know, and going, oh, wow, I like that guy. What the hell? Oh, I just saw myself in the mirror. What the hell?
Well,
that guy sounds awesome.
From that intro on Steampunked, where you,
yes.
You know, the little bit they played, and I'll crush you. I'll crush your soul. Alba. Okay. Well, you know, I'm an entertainment publicist. That's what I do. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I better
earn
some
that's what I do.
Then.
I don't know. You seem to be doing
all
someone. Right. How you feeling?
Well, hey, ramen tastes much better now than it did in college. I'm feeling good. I'm very much getting ready to travel. On Thursday, I will be traveling to Tucson, Arizona, for the infamous and one of my favorite events, Wild Wild West Con.
One of my favorite events too, and I'll be there as well. And this year, you know, it's my third year presenting. You helped me 2 years ago. You were on here, and James Bream was still trying to nag me into coming, force me. And God, I'm glad he did. But he was trying to talk me to come and do something about podcasting. And you said, but you gotta have a great name. And so you created something about mastering the wireless over the ether, and on and on. And thought, okay, I'm the luckiest girl in the world. Thomas Williams helped me name the panel. And this year, so I'll do that again, but this year they've asked James Spring, you know, of Creative Play and Podcast Network, they've asked us to do a joint live broadcast. So,
oh, nice.
I don't know if that's the same time as the absinthe tasting is going on. I think that's afterward. But if it's during, I feel like, you know, that we're going to have interesting people wandering in and out, talking joining us on the air.
I think the idea of the absinthe at the same time as publicly broadcasting people's opinions is, there's no way this can end badly. I think it's perfect. This is an excellent plan.
nothing can go wrong.
I had a fight with accents once, and I lost horribly. It kicked my butt.
Well,
I was in Germany,
never...
and I was walking around. Go on, please.
No, this is good. You in Germany?
I ended up in Germany walking around with a toilet seat in my hand for 4 hours. I have no idea where that seat came from, but evidently I have a toilet seat in my hand. I was young.
Okay. How long? What, a couple of years?
Mm, mm. About 20 years ago, actually.
Oh!
That was 1999. So 21 years ago.
All right. There you were,
yes.
Just following Prince's directive. Well, yeah. Well, I was saying I've never tried it, so I'm looking forward to it. I'm hopefully it won't end up in the same way. But I'm so excited. Everybody's excited you're going to be there. People have sent me questions to ask. And by the way, if you're listening live, and this is March 3rd, 2020, 9:25 p.m. GMT minus 5 Eastern Standard Time, you got something to say to Thomas Williford, you can give us a call at 646-716-9922. And that's a toll-free call in the continental U.S., 646-716-9922. Or for the people who, you know, have to be real quiet because they're at a job or something, they usually send a message in to me on Facebook through Madame Perry Salon or Jennifer Maudette Perry. So how long have you been involved in steampunk?
I got into steampunk on October 31st, 1988. I know exactly when I did, because I was very much into Victoriana, and someone for my birthday, which is the 29th, but we had a party on the 31st, in 1988, gave me a game, 89, and it was steampunk had not, the word had not gotten around, and it was called Science Fiction Role-Playing in a More Civilized Time. It was made by a guy named Frank Chadwick. And Games Design Workshop, GDW, and it was all about human beings had started exploring space in the 1870s because they came up with this ether propeller, and they went to Mars, and they went to our solar system had all these livable planets and all this adventure and colonialism and all the good stuff and all the bad stuff, and it was awesome. I got really into it, and nobody would play with me. Because everyone was playing D&D or Magic the Gathering. And I was like, wah, I want to play. But I held on to it. I loved it. Another game came out a little while later called Castle Falkenstein, which was it was the same type of thing, Victorian science fiction, but they added magic and fairies and elves and centaurs. So that got to be pretty cool. And then I think a couple of years later, another game came out called Deadlands, which was the Weird West role-playing game it was basically like Wild Wild West type stuff. It was brilliant, and it had monsters and horror, and there were just a series of games that got me into it. And I was an early adopter, and then when it got popular in the 2000s, someone said, isn't there this guy who did this? And let's ask him if he can make something for us. I said, if you've got money, I've got time. No problem. I'll make you stuff. And that's the timeline right there. And I've been cruising on that as much as possible since that time.
All right. And we can dig it. Well, that's magnificent, and I understand it really should have come naturally to you because you're a son of a scientist, matter otherwise. I'm not sure. I don't have accurate or reliable data on that. What I do have, I believe, well, for God's sake, you know, you've got a Wikipedia page that goes so long, it just finally stops at one point and says, and numerous other awards on one. But you've got degrees in physics, history, and art, so it seems like you were just sort of created for this from the time you hit the planet.
Those degrees, I jokingly call them my useless degrees. The only thing I can do is be a steampunk with all that. I can't get a real job. Not with those degrees. But you know how people make that joke? You know, I'm glad I learned geometry because, I'm going to use the Pythagorean theorem every day. Ha, ha, ha. I actually do. I use all the geometry and physics when I'm making robots or armor or even corsetry, I'm using a lot of geometry, a lot of hard science. I use an industrial cutting laser to do my leather work and even now to cut out patterns, because it's so much easier to manipulate the patterns on the computer than by hand. And it's been it's really weird to be able to carve a niche to use my education, because it wasn't as valuable, I guess, to the world otherwise.
Yeah, I could see. Or as my mother introduced me to somebody once who was at a woman, I think she was a nurse or something, that was speaking at a woman's event at her church, and she introduced me to her, and she said, see, because mine was, you know, journalism, to study public relations, to be an entertainment publicist. And she said, see, Jennifer, this woman has degrees in things where you have to really learn something, not just write stuff down. So,
I just kind of look at it.
You have to kind of pretend like there's a camera behind you and there's the audience laughing but feeling for you at the same time. So yeah, you got to kind of think, you know, like you taught me. And by the way, oh, we got a call about to come in already. You know, because that to me is similar to what you said. You know, me thinking, okay, don't sit here and feel hurt. Think about the audience. Like, you know, this is a TV show and the audience is out there rooting for you, saying that's okay, keep going. But I attended one of your panels last year, and you were talking about things like, if you're going to build a weapon, you know, we think about what you want it to do, how you want it to do that, where are you going to be using it, what is going to be the object of the power or the use of this weapon, and go on. And you said, you know, think about all the things that it needs to do before you.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what you said.
Think about the backstory. Yeah.
Yeah. Who needs it? Well, speaking of. I bet this is, if you don't mind, if you could just reach over and pull the beaded curtain. I think there's somebody coming in here from Tucson right now.
Oh, all right.
Hey, come on into Madame Perry Salon. Hi there.
Hi, this is Terrell. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm a little bit hoarse. Hopefully you can understand my speech tonight. I have a very similar college background to your guest. I call it my degree in unemployment, but same kind of thing. Lots of history and philosophy and science and whatever I was interested in at the time. I have a little bit of a question. One thing that fascinates me about steampunk, I was a big fan of the Wild Wild West show when I was growing up, but I kind of came into an interest in steampunk through Sherlock Holmes. I find it very interesting that a lot of Sherlock Holmes fans are also steampunk fans, and I wondered if your guest would like to comment on why he thinks there's that link and if he sees it also.
Thomas Tilterell.
First of all, Arthur Conan Doyle he's written a whole bunch of other stuff. He was into Victorian mysticism, Victorian science, so he put in little things about the sciences of the time. The forensic science that the character uses is way ahead of the forensic science that was actually being used at the time. So that is his own little bit of steampunk, its own little retrofuturism. It's pushing it forward. He was looking at finger marks, because fingerprints weren't legally usable yet, but he was still saying, hey, you can still see these things. And you know, the analysis of various types of tobacco ash to see what the person was smoking at the time. Nobody really had checked this much, but the character did. And people like Sherlock Holmes is basically Spock. If you want to pull some science fiction into there, the character, he is relatively emotionless about things. He occasionally gets a little passionate, but he sits there and he makes all of this highly, you know, his high observations combined with his intellect and ability to put things together, what's called Holmesian deduction, even. I've even heard of it called that. So he is a science fiction character. And I think that's one of the things that draws people in. They imagine, what would he do with this situation? You know, he's there. What's funny is people of the Victorian era, some of them believed that Sherlock Holmes was a real person. When the Ripper murders were happening, people were petitioning the government to get Sherlock Holmes on the case. And I was,
wow.
You know, when you say that now, you're kind of like, what? But again, they didn't exactly have social media to go checking these things. And Snopes was about 180 years out, you know, at that point.
Okay.
Actually, 130 or 40. I hope that helped answer your question.
Yes, that's an excellent answer. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling, Terrell. Good to hear from you. Anything else on your mind? Well, we got him. Okay, no. All right. By the way, I do have – thank you for Terrell calling. I do have some questions for you from our friend James Spring. He messaged them in to me. And
okay.
If you see where it said, you know, he's one of the producers, a host of Creative Play and Podcast Network. And he asked – he wants to know, ask him about the giant robot he built and what it's like to have his own laser. Now, I think you talked about the giant robot in the panel I sat in on the presentation, and I believe it ended up causing a big, I don't want to say domino, but a big effect from what people saw, what people thought, and what happened. I won't give it away. But so the giant robot, what it's like to have your own laser. And then he says, he's a cool guy.
Oh, thank you. The giant robot, first of all, one of my favorite things. Who doesn't love giant robots? I don't even know anyone. It's giant robots or dinosaurs. You got to like one of them, and most people like both of them. And I love giant robots. And if you look at the giant robot, if you ever get a picture of it, and I'm going to tell you where to get a picture of it. If you go to a place called Roadside, I'm going to tell you what happens to the giant robot. It was made for an event that is now defunct called the Steampunk World's Fair, and it has changed ownership. If you go onto a place called roadsideamerica.com and put in steampunk robot, it'll tell you where the robot is, and you can see pictures of it. It's now got an enclosure. It's in upstate New York at a resort, and it is a roadside attraction. People travel just to see the giant robot, which the idea that I've made a roadside attraction just tickles me. So I think it's the coolest yay thing.
Oh my gosh. Yes, it should.
And if you look at the robot, and you look at the toy robots from the 50s and 60s all the way through the 70s, the what they call blockhead robots. They had this big, the head looked like a block. By the way, I used to collect toy robots. That's why I know this. And how the joints were put together and how the body proportions are, you'll notice the giant robot I made is of similar proportions and had a similar stance. The feet are wider. On the toy robots, they would have these little wheels in them, so that they would only go forward. So if you move if the leg shoots forward, the wheel would lock so you could go back. And when the leg pulls backward, it would push the robot forward. And that little mechanism is contained in each foot. That's why the giant robot I made has these big wide feet to look like that. And building that robot is enormous fun. There are, if you look at it, you get a chance. I think it's all black, gold, and red. It also is covered in rivets because steampunk and rivets and Victoriana just go together. It's just so, you know, everything was riveted together because electric welding was in the future. It was really hard, so they riveted things. It has about 4,000 rivets, fake rivets. They're actually carpet tacks. The robot, ooh, when you look at it, might look like it's made of metal, but the people who bought it could not afford for me to make it of metal. It would have been several times more expensive. It's actually plywood covered in masonite and then painted with a textured paint. And then all these rivets hammered in. Each of them takes three hits So 4,000 rivets times three hits, 12,000 hammer swings to get all of them on there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. John Henry.
Yeah. That was a lot. My arm was tired. And actually a bunch of people would come by. I'd have build parties where people would come and help me build this. And just holding things, helping. My housemates were so tired of working on this bloody robot. It weighs about half of a ton, about 460 kilograms or 1,000 pounds, roughly.
Wow.
And is 3 meters, no, not 3 meters, 5 meters or 16 feet tall.
Oh, man.
having a rope. Yeah, and I'll tell you, here's a fun fact about the robot. There's a door on the side of the body of the robot, and that's for maintenance. And the robot comes apart. There's big bolts that hold it together. But you can also climb up inside, and there are these two big bolts sticking up. So you can put your head in the windows of the head and your hands on the bolts, and it feels like you're operating a giant mech, because I am that much of a nerd. I wanted a giant robot. I wanted to stand in it like I was marching down the street, and that is in there because it was fun.
Wow. Oh, I've got another call for you right now. Actually,
sure.
They've been waiting a little while. So, I think you can go ahead and let this person. No. They seem to be enjoying it too. So if you could just let this person in, move over a little bit, and welcome to Madame Perry Salon. You're here with me and Thomas Williford.
Hello, how you doing?
Hi there.
Doing great.
Guess who? It's your favorite Polish comic book artist.
My favorite Polish
comic
book artist. That must be Peter G.
Ding, ding, ding. What do we have for Johnny?
I don't know.
Nice.
Okay, so you've been listening to us talk about the gargantuan robot.
Oh, let me put it this way. I'm listening to this. I'm like, oh, this guy probably would have been a hoot in the days of Battletech. I don't know if you ever heard of Battletech.
I have heard of Battletech. I remember Robotech and Star Blazers. And, which was not giant robots, but I watched it when I would run home from school to watch it because it came on at 3:30. And a bunch of the other robot ones. In fact, there's a company called WizKids that made a robot figure game. And I ended up with one of every one of those at one point. And so I could sit there and play giant robots versus giant robots.
Battletech, it wasn't quite like that. They had one at Navy Pier in Chicago. Basically, it was a full-scale mech combat robot simulator. You actually got into a cockpit. You had controls and a monitor and stuff, and they split you up into teams. I don't know what happened to it. It went down after a while, but for the day, I mean, this was even 2000. This thing was cutting edge, and that was as good as it got.
Oh, yeah, I remember that because I think at the same time they started doing a game called Dactyl Nightmare, which was one of the first commercially available. You pay a few bucks, and it was a VR game where you put a helmet on, and you could go, and I would go from the one to the other, and you could go back and forth at the Christiana Mall in Delaware. Why do I remember this? That's like a million years ago. I remember these games. They were incredible amount of fun.
I got to ask, do you have Steel Battalion for the Xbox with the giant controller?
No, I do not. I don't play a lot of games. The only game I've been playing lately on the Xbox or on PC is Fallout. I've been playing Fallout. I've played Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas. I skipped 4 and started playing 76. And I have a Fallout Vespa. I took a Vespa and made it look like it's from the game.
Oh, yeah. I've seen pictures of that.
And it does, this thing does like 60 miles an hour too. It's not just a showpiece.
Yeah, New Vegas, I think, is probably the best one in the series. Yeah, the original Xbox, there was a game called Steel Battalion, and it came with a custom controller. This thing had twin sticks. You had to actually put
it on
CD. Yes, even the eject button was under a flip cover. They were after that degree of realism.
Yeah, we were talking about this yesterday. I was actually, I think it was yesterday, I was having, I met up with, I got to do something really cool. I got to go to Bethesda Games, which puts out Fallout. I got to actually have a tour, and a friend of mine named Josh Jay is a world builder there. He does incredible work there. And we were talking about that game and the giant controller and how he was really sad because if you didn't have the original Xbox, it was not forward compatible with any other machine. So you had to have the old game with the old Xbox, and he said he'd play it today, that if it was there, he'd play it.
Oh, yeah. There's the closest I've gotten to anything that much fun was the original Titanfall. I wasn't as big a fan of Titanfall 2, but the original Titanfall was great.
I saw the game, but I didn't play it. We're nerding out. Sorry, we're hijacking from the steampunk world, going into robots and nerding out. Sorry, people.
Oh, Madame Perry Salon is a place of love and adventure and information and entertainment. So it all works here. But I gotta, unless I'm interrupting something, and you guys are, I know you're such gentlemen, you wouldn't tell me. I wish you would. But if not, is there a story? Wasn't there a story about the giant robot in your house and your roommates put it somewhere that it shouldn't be, like outside? That caused an issue?
To move the giant, what happened is I started making it in my basement, and I realized soon that it would not fit in my basement. So we bought one of those garage tents, and we made it outside. Well, eventually – we had to assemble it. We made it in sections. If you go on YouTube and look up Thomas Williford giant robot or steampunk robot, there's actually a stop motion animation of the robot being assembled. You can actually see how it goes together. And we moved it onto the front porch because there was nowhere else tall enough to put this thing together. 16 feet tall, that's 5 meters high and quite broad. And when you put a giant robot that has flamethrowers and a Gatling gun on one arm, and one flamethrower on one and the other, well, when the police showed up, which of course they do, the police showed up, and they go, "Hey there, so what's that?" And the police have no sense of humor, but I said, "That's my new security system." They're like, "What?" And they said, "Well, that Gatling gun's fake, right?" I said, "Oh, yes, and it's fake. It's a bunch of tube and all this type of stuff." And they said, "And the flamethrowers?" Oh, they're real. And I realized that was the wrong thing to say. So I had to correct and said, they've been decommissioned. They were agricultural flame spreaders. They're used for clearing brush. And these things are mostly nobody uses them anymore. You pressurize kerosene and you light it and you turn a valve and there's no dead man switch. So if you drop one, it just keeps raining flaming death on everything around it. But I had decommissioned, the pumps were gone and everything. All of my neighbors were coming over and going, "So, giant robot, huh?" "Yep, got a giant robot." "Okay." And they all pretended to be too cool. But they would stop by. And when the police guy came, suddenly there were like 5 police cars and everyone's getting their camera out because, he told all of his buddies. So all the police are coming up, thankfully not to arrest me, not like last time, but to take pictures of the giant robot and, next to the giant robot, arresting the giant robot, arresting me in front of the giant robot, things like that. mad scientist arrested, you know.
Well,
now I need to build a giant robot.
The day in the life.
Well, if you want to talk steampunk, there is something that I'm kind of curious about. I'm wondering if maybe you can explain it. I mean, steampunk is everywhere, even when people don't realize. I mean, you got your giant mech animes and stuff like that, which are a lot, you know, have a lot in common with steampunk and that. And yet, you don't see anyone trying to make a steampunk TV series or a movie or something. Why do you think pop culture has caught up?
I was in a steampunk TV series. I don't know what you're talking about. The show
was actually
called Steampunk. Yeah, it was called Steampunk.
Oh.
It was a game show, in fact. It was in 2015. It was put on by Game Show Network and by a company called Pink Sneakers was the production company. I was a judge in it. It was a competition show. Kato was in it and Matt King. Matt King is the most famous person you've never heard of most of the time. He does loads of voice work. He did incredible voice work in something called Love, Death, and Robots, which is why it was all about robots there. But, yeah, it was a very cool TV show, and it was all about making things, building rooms for this steampunk mansion. And they've done some movies, like Mortal Engines was so steampunk, and you know, Wild Wild West was, but it was a flop. I liked Wild Wild West, it just wasn't Wild Wild West. They should have called it generic steampunk movie. There was actually an anime called Steam Boy, which was as steampunk as you can get.
I've seen that, yes.
And one of the problems with steampunk is it's had some hits and misses. So when they present something in Hollywood, I know because I've been on some super secret projects where they say, hey, we're going to do a steampunk TV show, and they have asked me to consult. I can't talk beyond a certain point about them because I signed papers and they'll take away my life.
I know those papers well. I've signed a lot of them.
Yeah. And what happens is the term steampunk itself has gotten a bad rap. So they go, oh, a steampunk movie is not going to work. And if you called it Industrial Evolution or if you call it Gaslight Fantasy, they're like, that sounds cool. And there have been a couple, again, it's a couple of hits and misses. There was one called Lantern City, which has been in pre-development, which is I've been involved with. It's a great idea, but nothing's gone forward with it. It's also, you know, people like to dip their toe in it. They see it, and they see it everywhere, but who wants to be the one that puts the, you know, $25 to $170 million down to make it right, to do a good job?
Let me ask you about that. I'm sorry. Pardon me. I was wanted to ask you, too, because, yeah, in addition to being in so many magazines like Pop Mech, Wired, Boing Boing, Playboy TV, you've got your Clockwork Spider, Arachne Mechanica is housed in the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Vegas. And, yeah, I put on the description you're a consultant of Lantern City, which is produced, I understand, by Bruce Boxleitner.
Yes.
But you've also, and by the way, I'm not going to ask you because Peter G. knows I have signed so many NDAs in the last 24 months working on things here in Atlanta. I know if I say anything to anybody, they're going to find out somehow. I don't know how, but they will, and they've already threatened me. So I take that seriously. You've been involved with TV shows like on TV, like MTV, BBC, but the shows Castle and Oddities. Now, Castle, didn't you build something for one of the actors to wear?
It was already pre-built, but Nathan Fillion was wearing a mechanical arm in the steampunk episode of Castle. I'm trying
Castle.
To remember which one it was. I think it was episode 5, season 3 or something like that. It's been a long time, so I don't remember. I was drunk that whole time. No, I was not, actually. But he ended up wearing this mechanical arm, a hat, a pit helmet, and some stuff that I had made for a really fun scene in there. He really wanted to. In fact, what happened is I was at San Diego Comic-Con, and one of the costume designers for the show, the lady came up to me and said, "Hey, I love your steampunk stuff. This is great. Where are you from?" And I'm like talking myself up, and I said, "I'm from Pennsylvania." And you could see the color drain out of her face, like as if I told her I was actually dead. So I quick as, because I'm not as dumb as I look, because nobody's that dumb, I said, "But I do West Coast stuff all the time." She said, I'm going to be in LA next week. My girlfriend at the time is looking at me like I have a crack pipe dangling from my lips, because I had not said anything about this before. And I said, "I'm going to be there Monday." And she calls her boss at Raleigh Studios and says, and then she goes, "Oh, sorry, he's not going to be in Monday." I said, "Oh, I'm going to be there all week." And she looks at me again, like her eyes just get wider and her jaw drops. And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "What the?" She's like, beep, 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 beep in the background. And they said, "Well, okay, here's this. Don't be late. Be there at 11 on Tuesday at Raleigh Studios." And she's like, "What the flying beep?" You know, and I'm like, "Hey, let's do this." And they ended up renting and buying, and they bought a bunch of steampunk stuff. Nathan Fillion's arm, another character's arm, all the wait staff were wearing stuff that we made. And they were so appreciative. Some people say, "Ew, working for Hollywood's terrible." These people were so nice. They literally said, "Hey, if you want to be extras, we will fly you out from the East Coast to be extras on this show." And
sweet.
I got to be on the show. You'll see a guy in a red British officer's outfit looking terribly confused, because I was. And that's me. And I had a blast on there. I got to have lunch with Nathan Fillion and some of the other actors, got to talk to them. Everyone was super kind, too. No, there were no divas, no unpleasantness at all.
Oh, that's nice. That is great. I love that story. Yeah. Well, you think people look at you funny when you say you're from Pennsylvania? Try talking with my accent. But they
But Georgia is Atlanta is like Hollywood East now. That's great.
Oh, no kidding. I mean, I'm working a lot. My husband, when he became semi-retired, I've got him working, you know, game shows and stuff. And as an actor, I got my dog, one of my corgis, work, and with me on a show that I think it's okay to say the name down, although I wouldn't say it for a while, Stargirl, and because we were established residents of the community, townspeople, but. And you know, there's a TV series I watch called Brokenwood. It's a suspense kind of crime thing out of New Zealand. And they had an episode recently where people were at a steampunk convention and somebody gets, of course, murdered. They got blown up in the outhouse, I think. But anyway, it's coming around, but you don't want it to, you know, to get in the wrong hands or wrong whatever. Thomas, Peter G, I expect you to put this into a convention soon. Peter was at C2E2 last weekend. I've been trying to get him to come with me to Wild Wild WestCon this weekend. I know he can't. But Thomas Fullerford, I know that I've only got a few seconds left. Thank you so much for being here tonight. Thank you for all you do. I know people can – I've been telling people where they can go onto your website where they can order things made for you, by you.
Oh, yeah, bruteforcestudios.com. It goes straight to my Etsy site, because my site crashed because I didn't take care of it. But Etsy can handle that level of traffic. So, yeah, if they go there, you can message me, even just to ask questions. That's fine.
Okay. Somebody else sent a message in, Smithy J. Ritchie. That sounds like a made-up name to me, but you know Smithy Ritchie.
I know Smithy, yes.
Yeah, I know. I'm just teasing him. And I'm going to read his comment the way it's spelled.
Oh, God,
ready?
Please. Okay.
Okay. Thomas! Can't wait to after party with you. Okay? There. Did I do it well?
I heard it in his voice. It was perfect.
Okay. Good. I'm glad to hear that. So, if for people who are listening live or they're listening someplace where they can't always write things down, I will be sharing the information, social media, and the website and everything where you can purchase things from Thomas Williford on all of my social media for Madame Perry Salon and Lone Wolf Jen and everything else. And so I'll make sure that you know how to find Thomas to send your money there. I don't think he's going to make another giant robot for you unless you can really make it worth his while. But
You give me the money, I'll make you a giant robot. I'll make you a tiny robot if you give me money. I love making robots.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. And I just want to say thank you again so much. I'm just counting the days. Peter G., you're going to be sorry you missed this weekend. You really are. You're going to have to join us up. But this has been Matt and Perry. I love you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Everybody. Little Miss Muffet, she don't want a scuffing. Good long game.